Washington's football team has a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori & Murad, can help update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you or your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Coming up at 4:25 right here on The Fan, what will continue and can start to go better for Washington in the upcoming game against the Arizona Cardinals for Monday Night Football, and what is going to cool off from their premium performance? We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes. Austin Eckler's on the show in 1 hour at 5 o'clock. But right now, we're kicking off the Beltway Blitz. Teams in town you care the most about. Let's go. And we start with the Nationals and our buddy Dave Jagler, who is on the call with Charlie Slows night in and night out right here on your flagship home for the Nats on 106.7 The Fan. Jags, the team made the announcement today that the media awards have been doled out. Voting is done. Luis Garcia is the hitter of the year. Jacob Young's the good guy, and Kyle Finnegan's the pitcher of the year. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I think there were some interesting decisions there to make. I think that the pitcher of the year was, you know, what do you favor? I mean, Finnegan did save over half their wins, 38 of 69. I think Jake Irvin has a compelling case. He's been in the top five in the National League much of the year in innings pitched. There's some value there. So, it's good to have choices. And, you know, I think it speaks to hopefully, you know, it's better to have, you know, two good choices than, oh boy, who do I check a box for? The player of the year, I mean, it's a shame that the James Wood wasn't up here all season. I think it's tough to vote for a guy for player of the year. He'd be the player of the half year. It certainly looked like he was going to be C.J. Abrams, but he tailed off in the second half. And Garcia, you know, to his credit, I mean, he came into this season, you know, kind of fighting for a spot. I mean, it seemed like the Nationals were trying to replace him spring training. He held off the Trey Lipscomb charge in March and, you know, had for him a career offensive season. But more importantly than that, he's been more consistent defensively. So is he an all-star caliber player yet? No, but he's definitely made tremendous strides over this year. And the key for him is, can he build on this going forward, not just kind of rest on the laurels of a good season and have a better season next year?
Yeah, speaking of better seasons, I thought one was really in store for K-Bar Ruiz this year, Jags. After hitting 260 with 18 bolts last year, and I know he got beat up a little bit by some of the metrics defensively, but it just felt like he was kind of steadily improving in that regard to me. It just feels like it was never right for him at the dish, never maybe really comfortable, never really got going. And then there were moments like last night, I was trying to remember which Royal it was, but that delayed steal, just kind of catching him napping. He was catching the ball very nonchalant, and great play by the Royals player to execute that perfectly done delayed steal, shades of, you know, Trey Turner, Ian Desmond doing it to other people. But not a great year for Ruiz in what should have been kind of entering his prime mid-20s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously careers aren't linear, Danny. And right. You know, guys improve and guys go down. I mean, you know, the Mets catcher Francisco Alvarez is at a down year after a big year last year, but this is a key offseason. I mean, he's got a, you know, obviously he's got the contract. He's entrenched at the position. You know, now, you know, go out there and improve. And I think, you know, for him at the plate, there's just got to be, we talked about this with Garcia, and I think he did a good job of this. There's got to be better swing decisions. I mean, Ruiz has the incredible ability to hit pitches in the other batter's box and pitches that are going to hit him in the leg, but that's not always a good thing. Those are pitches you shouldn't even be trying to hit. And he has to improve his plate discipline. If it's 5-10%, swing at better pitches, and his chase rate on 3-2 counts this year has been over 80%. At some point, you know, don't be afraid to get called out on strikes. I mean, pitchers know, hey, we don't have to throw him a strike to get him out. So there are definitely improvements that need to be made. But as you say, last year, you know, proved that there's good things there. He does have power. He should be, you know, a 20 to 25 homer a year guy. And then you know, defensively, I think probably the framing has been a little better. I mean, the pop times and the one knee catching, I think, has taken a little away from his throws. So hopefully maybe some arm strengthening this year to be a little more competitive on stolen base attempts. Definitely, you know, this is a big offseason for him to improve in all areas.
Jags, one area where they made major strides this year was in the starting rotation. Last year, the ERA collectively was over 5. This year, it was sub 4.5. And they got a lot of durability out of their arms. Irvin made 32 starts. Corbin as well. Gore's going to make his 32nd tonight. Mitchell Parker, 29 starts. They really didn't have to use all that many starters as well. I felt like that should be viewed as a major win for them.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, they've cut the home run rate. They've cut the walk rate. And that was the message. You've got to get out in the strike zone. That was delivered in spring training. And, you know, a lot was mentioned about, you know, Corbin in his last start yesterday, how he sets the tone of you've got to post. It doesn't matter if you have a good start or a bad start. You've got to post every fifth day. And, you know, Gore has been right under his wing his time here. And I think Parker has taken that with his 29 starts. So do they need some fortification? Sure. I mean, you're going to lose 180 innings in Patrick Corbin. So how do you replace that knowing that Josiah Gray is not going to be available for much, if not all, of next season? Cade Cavalli has missed 2 years now. And even though he's feeling good now, how much do you count on for him next year? You know, hopefully maybe some fortification outside of the organization to help what has been a huge win this year, because DJ Hirsch and Mitchell Parker, they weren't on the radar to be big contributors as they've been this season. So that has been an organizational win. Gore finishing strong is positive, and Jake Irvin being kind of the leader of the staff. So that's a good place to start. Now you hope those guys get better, and you hope they can fill in around them.
Jags, thank you as always, sir. Have a great weekend.
I will, and I'll miss you guys. I'm sure you'll be ringing my phone around April 1st.
We better talk to you before April 1st.
Yeah, we're
going to
bother you before then.
Wow, you guys lose my number for 6 months. It's a season of silence.
No, you hit that do not answer on that golf course, Jags. We know you.
Dave who? What?
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, pal. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Our buddy, Roto-World Zach Kruger, joins us to talk about the NFL. Zach, I want to start Tampa Bay, Philadelphia. Tampa Bay recently has had Philly's number. Philly's depleted with some injuries to some skill guys. How do you see this one going, and how important is it for each team?
Well, what's up, guys? Happy to be on with you all again after a couple weeks away. I got some new fatherhood duties I found, but happy to be back and try to test this game with you guys. First up, Eagles, like you mentioned, a lot of problems going on here with the Eagles wide receiver group. Just before I came on here, A.J. Brown officially listed as questionable after missing weeks 2 and 3 with a hamstring injury. He also didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. He snuck in a limited session on Friday, so we'll see how things go there. But Brown being available is going to be huge for the Eagles in this one, because Devonta Smith has also been ruled out with the concussion that he suffered in week 3 against the Saints. So if neither of those guys can go, it's going to be potentially a big Dallas Goedert day, which we saw last week against the Saints, 10 catches for a ridiculous 170 yards on 11 targets. It's certainly one to monitor here. Obviously, a big game for the Eagles, who just haven't quite hit their stride like some are hoping that they will. But this is a team that also had a lot of struggles heading into the season. So we'll see how this goes. But the Eagles wide receiver situation, definitely a big one to monitor. Also on the Buccaneers end, rookie running back Bucky Hodges, he was limited in practice this week. He's supposed to be questionable in play. He said earlier this week that he would, but he could also see a limited workload. So we'll see how much of the backfield is split between Rashad White and Bucky Hodges in this matchup.
Speaking of big-time wide receivers who could miss, I know that Devontae Adams has already been ruled out with a hamstring for the Raiders and the Browns. The Raiders are without their edge, Max Crosby as well. Feels like maybe a spot where the Browns could upset the Raiders without some of their best players?
There's certainly a possibility of that, and really, after you see the Panthers upset the Raiders, you have to assume that anything's on the table, right? So the Raiders, like you mentioned, Grant, without Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers last week against the Raiders, against the Panthers, 7 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. Then second-year wide receiver Trey Tucker, a speedster out of Cincinnati, he had 7 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown on his own. So definitely going to create an interesting opportunity for more targets for the Raiders receivers with Devontae Adams out. Also, tight end Michael Mayer rolled out for this one. Brock Bowers has obviously kind of led that tight end group as a rookie first-round pick, but he should see some more opportunities as well. If an upset happens, Jerome Ford is going to be a player to watch for the Cleveland Browns. Over 203 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown so far this season. Obviously, Chuba Hubbard had a big day against the Raiders last week as well. Ford didn't practice on Wednesday, but it seems he's just managing a minor knee injury. He practiced on Thursday and Friday. I would expect him to be listed as questionable. Still waiting on the Browns report to drop, but I like Jerome Ford as a possible player who could contribute to another upset of the Raiders in this game.
Very rarely would a team or two teams that have one win combined through six games be as intriguing as the Andy Dalton Bowl this weekend, Zach. This Panthers-Bengals matchup is incredible theater. I can't look away. I know a train wreck is coming. How do you see it?
Isn't it insane what a quarterback can do when he can just simply see over his offensive line, Danny?
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, over 300 passing yards and 3 touchdowns last week against the Raiders. Now he gets his former team in the Bengals. A couple big players to watch in this one, the biggest being Deontay Johnson, who popped up yesterday on the injury report with a groin injury. Deontay Johnson said himself that he sat himself out of practice due to the conditions of the field. He practiced today. He's officially listed as questionable, so I'd expect to have him available for Andy Dalton. Johnson posted a career high 122 receiving yards in his first and only game with Andy Dalton, so that certainly bodes well for the Panthers offense as a whole. And then Ja'Marr Chase, we saw him finally have his 2024 breakout against the Commanders this past week, 6 for 118 and 2 touchdowns. He was on the injury report early with the shoulder injury. He has since been cleared, so I expect both the Panthers and Bengals to be at full go, more or less, for this game, which I agree is more exciting than what it sounds like on paper between two teams with just one win.
Zach, I want to sneak in real quick, about 45 seconds left here, but the Commanders are at the Cardinals, second straight road game after Jaden Daniels was so good and that offense continued humming. Totals in the 50s, which bodes well, I'd say, for a lot of yards and points.
Yeah, it bodes well for a lot of yards and points. Let me give you a sneaky player to watch here real quick, guys. It's Cardinals tight end Elijah Higgins, who has 4 catches for 41 yards and a touchdown this season. Trey McBride has been ruled out with a concussion. Higgins is a former wide receiver at Stanford. He listed at 6'3", 230 pounds, and ran a 4.54 40 times at the combine just a few years ago. We know that these wide receivers converted to tight ends can obviously provide big points in the passing game, especially as far as fantasy is concerned. If you're looking for a guy to maybe throw into your fantasy lineup and you're desperate tight end, Elijah Higgins could be a sneaky way to go if you don't have an elite option there.
Zach, always a pleasure, my friend. Talk soon. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
See you, buddy. Hit that local 53 sounder. Let's class up the joint a little bit. Let's handsome up this segment just a hair. Our pal Nick Ashew for BetQL. Nicholas, first of all, tell people about Game Day Garage for Thursday Night Foosball. I saw your handsome face, and I loved it. I have a little freeze frame that I keep in my heart, but also above my computer.
And I appreciate you in both those. Yeah, it's kind of a new project I've been working on with BetQL and Odyssey, the whole thing. It's kind of like instead of just doing like a watch party and a live stream, we've actually got a little production team going. Very small, humble production team, and kind of put a little extra work into it. So it's almost like kind of a mini reality show, and what it's like to watch a game with some people sweating their bets and their fantasy, you know, matchups early on in Thursday Night Football, and kind of what goes on with that. It's been a lot of fun so far. So just kind of building up, trying to do something a little bit different. So you can find it on YouTube. New episode just came out. I've got it out, the link on my socials, and BetQL is going to put the link to that out on their socials as well, too. So it's growing little by little. It's been a lot of fun.
That's very cool, man.
Love it, dude.
Proud of you. Happy for you. All right, how about the Commanders and the Cardinals this weekend? What's your feel?
You know what, man? I think first off, just from an emotional perspective, watching the Commanders, that offense trend up week after week is just such a promising thing to see. Now, you're going up against the Cardinals defense. It's middle of the pack in terms of stopping the quarterback and yards allowed in terms of the passing game. So it really bodes well for somebody like Jaden Daniels to continue this trend upward. Obviously, what concerns me on the other side of things is somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. and what he can do to Washington secondary, which we know has been a problem for years, guys. I'm sure you've talked about ad nauseum, as we've seen so far this season. I think it could be a really high-scoring game. I heard you guys talking about that just a second ago. I mean, I think it goes over the total there, sitting at 50, and I think you're looking at another opportunity where if the Commanders are going to win games moving forward, you're going to have to be a high-scoring team. I know this sounds dumb, right? It sounds like it's a really dumb analysis of, like, you're going to have to outscore the other team. But, like, in reality, that's what it's going to be, because the defense is certainly going to let them down at times.
How much are they going to miss Eckler? I think it's a lot, but it sounds like I may be the minority.
No, I'm with you, man, because we've seen what he's done in the return game and also as a pass catcher out of the backfield. One of the things I've loved about Eckler is also the fact that he's become one of the safety nets for Jaden Daniels out of the backfield, right? We know young quarterbacks really love to have that. It's usually a tight end, or maybe it's a veteran receiver. I remember Santana Moss was that guy for RG3 his rookie year, where it's, you know, you need a play on third down. You know you're going to that person. Zach Ertz is one of them, but Austin Eckler has been that too, much more as a pass catcher. But that, I think that's going to be a major, major loss for them when it comes to the passing game. So I'm absolutely with you there.
Nick, what on the defensive side of the ball do you expect to be better, if anything, this weekend?
Honestly, man, not much. I'm going to be honest with you here. I mean, I expect Marvin Harrison Jr. to have a big game, and I think they're going to have to watch somebody like Kyler Murray, obviously both with his legs and with his arm. But, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the big threat first and foremost. Not the only, but Arizona's got a sneaky good offense, and we've certainly seen some big numbers from them put up at times against what they did against the Rams a couple of weeks ago. I don't have a lot of confidence in this defense. And look, I know this is a rebuild. My expectations are very tempered with this team. I feel very good in the direction that it's going, but it's clear that the offense is taking more strides than the defense has so far this season.
Nicholas, are they going to be able to get any easy things into the offense? I think that 1 week was incredible, right? Going deep to McLaurin that time.
Yeah.
That was really, really fun, but I don't know that they're going to be able to major in that. I think most of the stuff's still going to be that horizontal raid that we kind of know and love from Cliff Kingsbury. Do you think they'll be able to get some chunk plays, you know, without Eckler?
You're gonna have to start trying to find somebody else besides Eckler in those situations, right? I mean, even if it's more of a Brian Robinson, only caught one pass for 4 yards last game, if he becomes a little bit more of a receiver like he was for them at times last year, that might be something you do. Because, yeah, like, it's great. I mean, it was just invigorating, I think, for everybody to see Terry McLaurin get involved in the offense and in the deep game the way that they did last game. But, like, defenses are smart. Even, like, dumb defensive coordinators, though, hey, that number 17 – double team him. He's really good. So, like, you're going to have to find other answers. You're not going to get those incredible throws and opportunities every single time, like Jaden Daniels did, obviously, late in that game Monday night as well. So, yeah, I think Brian Robinson is somebody to look at, not just as a runner, but maybe more as a pass catcher now that you're going to have Austin Eckler out.
Nick, you're our guy. Thanks, buddy.
Love you guys. See ya.
See you, buddy. Good.
That is Nick Ashew, BetQL, here on Grant and Danny. All right, next, we've talked a lot about Monday night this week. What's going to carry over and what won't? What that happened on Monday that worked, do you think, works again against Arizona? And what ends up being very different this time out? We'll open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067. Coming up next, remember, Austin Eckler on the show in 40 minutes on The Fan.
Reset the play clock. They don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive lineman. And what a night for the Commanders.
Which offensive lineman's going to score against the Cardinals? That's the question.
That is the real question.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Of the breakout performers and or just success stories of Monday night, what's going to carry over and what won't? Short week, you stayed on the road, Arizona's up next. That's the question. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines for you guys right now. So, Danny, we'll start with you. What's something that worked really well on Monday that you think they'll go back to and will have plenty of success with on Sunday?
The chance for one-on-one opportunities. I think you're going to see that. I think based on the fact that you got to cut, it's like, I always use a boxing analogy. It's not a good one, but you've got to cover your gut because Brian Robinson's giving you those body punches, right? You've got to cover because Jaden Daniels is going to scramble outside. You've got to cover because Austin Eckler, when he's healthy, is a weapon. You've got to cover because Zach Ertz is operating in that underneath middle of the field. You're going to be able to get some pretty good looks for wide receivers. Now, I don't know that they've got a wide receiver core that's capable of taking advantage every week. You know, I know this isn't the week to do it because of how awesome this past Monday was, but down in, down out, I still don't think this is among the better, even really top 20 wide receiver cores in the game, but you're going to be able to get some good looks and guys are going to have a chance to make some plays. I think that's sustainable based on everything else that they do.
Yeah, I think that one thing that will carry over is I feel really good about the trajectory of Luke McCaffrey. I think he runs really good routes. He's very smart. And the more they want to involve him, the better. Now, that doesn't mean he has to be the number two wide receiver. In fact, I don't think that's the plan. But I think he could play the slot for them. It's just 6 catches through 3 games. But he had 3 in week 1. He had 3 in week 3. And he had 44 yards, including a 42-yard catch and run to set up a first and goal on a 4th and 2. I think that they need to continue to incorporate him. I'm not suggesting majorly, for the record. But I do think it... you know, a minimum of two and probably in the range of 4 to 5 targets every single week in the slot is probably about right. He gets open at a rate that is amongst the best in the National Football League, and he's just learning. He's figuring this thing out as he goes. He's only going to get better. But I think there's something there. Down the depth chart at wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you they have a great number two or an awesome slot receiver, but I think the way they're going to use Noah Brown as their receiver opposite McLaurin on those in-breaking type things out wide, I think that works. I think he can box guys out. He can use his size. He's got a big catch radius. He can make Daniels right with the lunging, diving catch. You saw him go to the ground and scoop a ball off the grass, basically, to make a big reception. He had a nice 16-yard catch at the goal line where he had a guy on his back that, you know, he had kind of stacked behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a good role for him. And then McCaffrey in the slot on smaller DBs is a win. At 6'2", 200, that's a rare size for what they're asking him to do in the middle of the field. I think some of those things carry over. I don't think you're going to hit the 55-yarder to McLaurin necessarily every single week. And this has nothing to do with McLaurin, who's good, and Daniels, who looked amazing. But that throw and catch at the end of the game is so low percentage. That's incomplete, I'm going to say, like 3/4 of the time,
yeah,
or more.
An inch to the right with Terry's knee when it hits first. You're out of bounds, and it's an almost play. Yeah.
There's a reason the next-gen stats said there was a 10% chance of mm-hmm. that ball being completed the moment it left Jaden Daniels' hand. So I think maybe the McLaurin performance, I'd say, has less of a chance of carrying over. But I think turning up the knob on Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, and kind of down the depth chart receivers, now that there will be more respect paid to McLaurin, and maybe there's going to be, you know, a second safety kind of shading his way on some of the deep stuff, I actually think you're going to see plenty of that underneath opportunity for Jaden Daniels this week.
Yeah, so something that won't carry over. It can't be that clean. You can't have zero turnovers, zero penalties until, you know, moments left in the game there in the fourth quarter. Stuff happens. Adversity happens. The tip pass, the muff snap, the miscommunication, the tip pass, the ball that juggles out of the receiver's hands, the overthrow. A mistake is coming, and multiple mistakes are coming, by the way. It's the league. It's what happens. This sport, we have too much data to know that, right? You're not going to go penalty-free again for 50 minutes, give or take, of football. So you all of a sudden are going to face more bad down and distance. They've been unbelievable. And even when it's gone poorly on first down, they've had great makeups, right? Whether it's, fighting back from a second and 12 or a second and 20 or things like that. They've done an amazing job. That's not sustainable, though, to have a first down penalty, be backed up 20 yards and still get that first down and walk down and score and never punt. Some of the adversity is coming in that regard.
So I'll circle a different point in that same category, which is they're going to turn the ball over at some point. Probably this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I mean, you're going to go 4 straight weeks to start the year without turning the ball over? I guess it's possible. Now, oddly, you don't expect a Jaden Daniels pick because he just so rarely puts the ball in harm's way. I think there's a couple of things really good about that and a couple of things kind of, I don't want to even use the word bad because there's
been a trade-off,
but that keep you from maybe being better offensively about that. So the good is he reads things out pretty well, number one. Number two, he is not taking big-time risks, and he almost never takes a bad risk, right? That's really good. What I would say is less than ideal about never turning the ball over or kind of the way he's played the position is it feels like with a couple of the throws to McLaurin notwithstanding, he's got to see it open, if you see what I mean. Like, he is not anticipating and throwing before a guy's breaking. That's sometimes where, oh, I thought you were going to do this, but you did that, and that's where you get the pick or the PBU. It is 4th and 2. I'm going to keep drifting backwards, backwards, backwards. I'm 11 yards behind the line. But now Zach Ertz just came free in the middle of the field, and I'll drive it in there because he's wide open. More of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get fewer takeaways that way, which is a good thing. But also, when that doesn't come open, when you've now drifted, 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 and you're waiting, that play might be dead. Whereas if you're anticipating and you're driving it into a window before a guy's there, you know, that's where you're going to be most efficient. So I think occasionally, when you see guys like, you almost will always see with a really low interception rate comes a very low touchdown rate or a very low big 20-plus, 40-plus explosive play rate. It's like eating fast food every day and not gaining weight to have almost no picks and to have those explosive big things also.
Yeah, every once in a while you get an Aaron Rodgers 50 touchdown, 6 interception season, and then you realize how remarkable those things
are.
Yeah,
you win the MVP award and you go to the Hall of Fame.
Precisely.
But it just doesn't happen. Like, the 30-some touchdown season is normally accompanied by, for the best quarterbacks, 8 to 13 interceptions or whatever.
Yep.
And it's just because it happens sometimes. So I view the no interceptions thing as good, obviously, but it's there's also some telling there that isn't always great. So it's not like I'm looking forward to a pick, but A, I want to see how he responds when it happens, which I think people can relate to. And B, I want a little bit more anticipating and less he's open, he's clapping, he's flat-footed, let me throw it to him. And they've gotten guys open, which is awesome. If that keeps happening, they're not punting. Don't change anything. But that will not keep happening. That's not how it works. It's not always like that.
So the thing that is sustainable to me, or another thing that's sustainable that we'll see going forward, is even if Daniels is wrong, it's still helpful. The hidden yards that he provides in what should be a 12-yard loss that's turned into a sack for minus two, a incomplete pass that he could have forced or thrown away is a 5-yard gain and a first down. Those little hidden things that aren't sexy, that don't, you know, make SportsCenter or, you know, the fastest, whatever it is in television, those hidden yards are so helpful for this group to stay ahead of the sticks, for them to find something where maybe there wouldn't be a drive otherwise, right? A second and 10 is a lot worse than the second and 7 after he scrambles and makes a small play. Maybe you're missing out on the occasional 12-yard pass or 15-yard pass, which you'd like eventually for him to grow into. But there are a couple of those times in that Cincinnati game where you're like, oh, that was open right then if it was perfect. Okay, it's not. Now nothing's open. So instead of a loss of 7, it's a 4-yard gain.
So that's
those plays are huge.
Those trade-offs that teams have decided they want, right? That's something that is the beauty of and the best part about having a quarterback who is the athlete and the runner that he is. Like, if he plays like he does on Monday, then it doesn't matter because he's not only a great runner, but he's the best passer on the planet, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But what teams basically have decided, and I'm not saying individually any one team, but around the league is, we'll forego the really good pocket passing stuff. We'll turn all of the faders down on some of that for the easy button rushing first down, back-breaking scramble, the cheat code 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 play where we've got read option and nakeds and boots in our bag that you can't defend. And like that 4 and 5 yards that you just steal all game long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where my proclivity is still like, let's throw the football. That's how you win in this league. Let's stand in the pocket. Let's pat the football and let's throw it. Teams have kind of gone away from that for the athletes, the position, like Daniels, because of what we saw Monday night where it's like, it looks like he just scrambled for one and you're like, he just got 7 yards. How many times did that happen?
We like, look up at 2nd and 3. We're like, wait, what?
He ran from two guys out of the pocket. Now he's like running, and he did such a good job at actually like keeping plays alive and looking downfield and occasionally throwing like he did to Terry to move the chains on a 4th down. But it seemed like every time he would get out of bounds with a little scramble and a keeper, it was 5 more yards than it looked like because of his speed. And that's the trade-off where you go, all right, in the case of Lamar or whoever it might be, maybe we're going to miss some things down the field. We're not going to drive some of these throws into these windows. But it's okay. We're always going to be ahead of the sticks. Now, it happened on Monday night that you had the best passer in the league and the guy that was running and stealing the yards from the other team. So if you could just do that every game.
Just do that.
Let's just keep doing that all the way to some Super Bowls. That would be fun. But I'm with you. I think that transports to Arizona. And without Austin Eckler, by the way, who's going to be on the show in about 20 minutes, they're going to need him to run the football and to steal some of those yards.
I think it's a big rushing week for him.
So here's the question for you guys. Of that performance on Monday night that went so well against the Bengals, what carries over and what doesn't? 800-636-1067. We'll also get into what we're going to be saying if Washington wins versus if they lose on the other side of this Cardinals game next, right here on G&D. Austin Eckler will be on the show in 15 minutes right here on Grant and Danny at 525 today. We will go through some of the FanDuel individual props for the Commanders against the Cardinals. We'll play a little over-under with Dad. He will lead us through that segment. By the way, do you know Darius went 5-0 in confidence points picks last
week?
Oh,
I'm very aware.
That might have been his first 5-for-5. The old Wendy's Biggie Bag or whatever it's called. I mean, he got after it last week. So
a lot of green on his screen.
There's a three-way tie, essentially, right at the top of the board.
And then someone's in last.
Somebody is pulling up the rear.
You know who someone is.
It's very early, Danny.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
It gets late early is what it does.
No.
Then it starts to slip away, and you start to outthink yourself. Next thing you know, you're the intern.
What is going to carry over from the Commander's gem against the Bengals and what won't? That's the question for you on G&D. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Kenny's in Largo. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
So, real quick, I'm gonna say what's going to stay and what's going to be more. We're going to see more bombs away, JD to Terry, and we're going to see less no turnover games because I feel like he's going to get more comfortable, more confident throwing the deep ball to Terry now that he's done it and he's, you know, succeeded a couple times in one game. But with that, he may start throwing a couple picks.
But,
not
Kenny,
a lot,
do you agree with me that that's okay? Like, giveth and taketh away.
Yeah, an arm punt is not a huge deal.
I don't mind that. They need to hit on those big plays.
I love it. Exactly. Man, give him the confidence. I love it. Shoot it. Take it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen it, and he can do it. So let's get it.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Shoot it. You're a shooter? Put that ball up in that little orange thing.
Yeah, and this is something that I've, you know, like I act like I'm out like walking in protest, so I'm not like really doing anything as an activist in this regard. But something I've sort of believed for a while that I find myself arguing on deaf ears. Not all interceptions are created equal, and I think nobody seems to understand that when you add them up at the end of the year and you go, this guy had more picks than that guy, so therefore this guy's worse than that guy. Like if your picks are all arm punts on like a, let's say it's a 3rd and 11 from your own 37, and you're just taking a shot, giving a guy 50-50 chance, and the safety comes over and catches it, and it's a, you know, a change of possession that's 51 yards down the field. Great.
Yeah.
Tressway just pinned him back. And that's it. Period. End of story. But if it's, you know, over the middle of the field or on a little out route that somebody jumps and takes for a touchdown the other way, I would say that one's worse, for example.
I remember reading a couple years ago, there was a guy who had like 10 picks. Like 6 of them were on Hail Marys or something. Like at the end of halves or games, right? And it's like, to that point,
yeah.
You're going, it's not a real pick.
I wish there was another stat, like some other kind of way to do it.
You could go through and say, how many of these were actually hitting a receiver's hands? 2. How many were at the end of half or end of game on a Hail Mary? 3. So your 9 picks is now 4. Probably a better way to keep the stat where it should just be interceptions that are on the quarterback, you know, that aren't at the end of regulation or something like that. But yeah, I agree with you. They're not all created equal. There's no doubt. I do think just the video that I saw of Terry McLaurin going up to Jaden Daniels after, I'm not even sure if it was the 55-yard catch or the touchdown. It must have been the touchdown. But he came over to him. He's like, keep throwing me the ball. He's like, in that spot, man. He's like, it's 50-50. I got you. You got to trust me. You got to let me make a play. And it wasn't in any way. It was the opposite of diva behavior. Like, it was like, I got your back. Because if you heard the Monday night broadcast, I think it was Lisa Salters had a report from McLaurin, and Aaron Rodgers actually referenced it on the McAfee show as being a big McLaurin guy. But Terry basically told them in their meeting with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Lisa Salters that he said something to the effect of, I'm not going to be a squeaky wheel to get some oil. It's going to work out over time. But me coming out and being vocal and telling Jaden he's got to do this, he's got to do that before a game, like I'm never going to do that because it's not fair to him. It's not going to make him better, and it's not going to make our team better. He's just that kind of guy. He's a pro's pro. He's awesome in that regard. But in game, kind of after the touchdown, in that moment of euphoria where everyone's got that dopamine hitting and everyone's loving life, he walked up to him, Danny, and he's like, you see, man, we got this. Like, you got to throw me the football down the field. You got to take these shots. I don't have to be open to be open. My game is not that. And I just think the more of those you hit, the more confidence he'll have to throw it, for sure. Callahan's in Minnesota listening on the Odyssey app, which is available to you wherever you go. What's up, Callahan?
What's up, guys? I'm back. Tommy boy.
Hey, you sold 500,000 brake pads, still takes time to call. So that's a huge deal.
Herbie Absolutely. Hancock.
Yes. I said Luke McCaffrey. I think he's going to carry on over into Sunday's game, getting more involved like he did this past week. And especially with Eckler out, I feel like he might be a little bit more versatile, like especially the running back role or if he's getting carries. I don't know. But for regression, I'm going to say Eckler, especially with the concussion on kick returns.
Well,
oh, kick returns. Good point.
Kick returns is a good answer, actually. What doesn't carry over? Eckler, who's joining us in 10 minutes, has been excellent.
Just incredible in that regard.
The first kick return of the season, on the opening kickoff of the year, he returned for a touchdown. It got called back via penalty, you may remember. I guess that would have been week two. But the
home opener,
in the home slate, home opener, the first kick, he returned for a touchdown. He then ripped one off way beyond midfield. I can't stress how big of a momentum gatherer that was, too, at the start of the second half.
Yep.
Because they had an 8-point lead that you go into halftime. We've all lived this a million times over where you come out, the Bengals get a quick stop, and the whole game changes, and you have to punt, and now they take the lead or tie it up or whatever. Like, immediately, that play made it feel like the first half was not a fluke. Washington's winning this game just based on Eckler's effort on
just
that
by doing that, they go up two scores. And that right to your point, that right there, it's
they were in field goal range.
Right, right away.
Inside the 35-yard line, I was walking back down the steps as the kickoff return was ending, and I said to Darius, I go, how the heck did they get down there? He's like, dude, Eckler, great return.
So I was in line to get popcorn. I'm watching it on the monitor, and it's actually really funny. Right in front of me.
By the way, you were in line for popcorn for a while.
They did not have, they couldn't get the idea that someone might want food from their food stand. There was a big complication there. That was a lot for them to deal with.
The popcorn was delicious, though.
It was very strong. There was a couple in front of me, and the wife was arguing with the husband to, like, calm down. She's like, you got to stop. And he's like, you don't understand. We suck. And, like, kind of they both sort of turn to look at me, and I was like, eh, sorry.
But the popcorn, though.
Yeah. And he's like, this guy gets it. And I'm like, dude, I think we've been bad for decades. I understand this feeling. It's frustrating, you know, whatever. And as the kick return's happening, he's going, see?
Austin Eckler joins the show. He had the big kick return. He was having a monster game, had the 24-yard touchdown, and then he got dinged with a concussion. He will not play on Sunday. Let's check in on him on Grant and Danny next.